I'm not massively keen on the term citizen journalist. I guess because people are talking about that moniker, that label, quite a lot at the moment. And in many ways, it seems to be in derogatory terms, in particular from the kind of established journalistic fraternity. I've been getting a lot of emails recently from people wanting to interview me from Lancashire, Preston in particular. I guess it's off the back of the Open 09 conference, and these journalism students would like my opinion on a few different things, and they're asking some questions. So I thought, instead of replying to all the emails that I've been getting, I will give you a couple of answers, roughly, that I gave to a couple of the journalists that have asked stuff so far. I'll keep their names out of here just in case I'm being derogatory in my responses. I guess I call myself a social technologist because it definitely covers more of what I do, what I feel like I do, more so than the term citizen journalist would, or blogger. I'm definitely more of a blogger than a journalist nowadays, even though I do think that even bloggers have to have a certain element of integrity about what they're doing, unless they just want to be the kind of Daily Mail of the internet and concentrate on sensationalism. I mean, we all have our moments, but I think that if you are going to call yourself a citizen journalist, you have to take that title very seriously. I think you really do have to follow the same code of conduct that journalists do. You're just not necessarily getting paid for what you're doing, which in some ways, in many ways, I think gives what you are doing more credibility, because you should be passionate and a lot more involved. So a couple of these questions. What is my opinion of citizen journalism? I'll read straight off this kind of email that I dropped back and say, for me, I think citizen journalism is very much a part of the online content that I prefer to digest now. I tend to read blogs way more than I read official news pages, and what with the news that Google is kind of bowing down almost to Murdoch and stating that they will limit 5 news searches so that the online news corporations can start charging you. Now, I don't know what this is going to do, whether it is Google basically saying, ha, Murdoch, you're going to come back crawling because you'll suddenly realise the drop in hits, or they're working hand in hand with some kind of behind the scenes business, or Google has its fingers in other pies that will enable you to surf and find the news that way, and it wants to branch out. I don't know. It's very interesting times, nevertheless. So, for me, audiences are already kind of shaping the news by participating in its gathering, and they're no longer content just to sit there and have the news spoon-fed to them. It's been a long time that I've consciously sat there and watched the news, unless it's wanting to catch up on some live footage of the floods. And I will Google first to see if there's any bloggers quicking or bits and bobs. I do have BBC News on in the background. Mostly if I'm driving, I will be listening to Radio 4 or Radio 2. And I do get my news from there, but primarily it's web-based. And Twitter is a great filter, sending me certain articles, whether it be mainstream news articles, The Guardian, do enjoy reading The Guardian, and blogs that people in my network will think that I might be interested in. How reliable do I feel that blogs and kind of the online user-generated content is? I think it's as reliable as old-school journalism in so many ways. I don't believe anything that I see on Fox News. So I think it's down to filtering of the viewer and the audience, checking out the network that the content creator is a part of. Some people will say their brand adds kind of relevance and credibility to the news that they are talking about. You'll go to different people for different types of news. when it comes to bloggers. And it's in the bloggers' interest, if they want to maintain their community, to stay honest, stay relevant. I don't know why old school news corporations seem to think that, oh, you know, people are just throwing any old crap out there on the internet. Well, there's countless amount of crap on the internet, yeah, but you're not necessarily going to be going and looking at it and finding it. It's the places that have the community, that the conversations are around the content that you will find. So it's as relevant as its audience, really. And providing the tools are in place for you to comment and talk about the content on that page. I mean, how democratic is that? That's just way more than we can when we're being spoon-fed the news from the TV, for example. We just take it all as gospel, don't we? So, looking back at my notes, if trained journalists share the same channels as citizen journalists, they can lead the way, collaborate, and guide the future of audience-led news and information. We should always question the integrity of the news. I don't believe a word the BBC were reporting about the beginning of the Iraq war, so I took it upon myself to go and have a look myself. That's kind of an extreme example. I don't recommend everybody just jumps in a taxi and asks to be dropped off in Iraq, which is effectively what I did when I got to Turkey. And I guess that's probably where I initially got called a citizen journalist, but I was there in my mind as a photographer to grab some photos on a story and see for myself. And if anybody was interested in the story, fair enough, but I just wanted to be satisfied with what I really thought was going on. So, how do I think citizen reporting contributes to journalism? In a lot of ways, many of the tools used by early adopting citizen journalists find their way into the hands of trained journalists, and I think this is really valuable. And when I say trained journalists, I mean people who've gone through the channels to be paid as journalists. I do think the channels that they are being trained in at the moment, with a couple of exceptions, Paul Bradshaw seems to be really, really clued up in Birmingham. Why can't I need more coffee, don't I? And he's doing a fantastic job educating and informing traditional style journalists with more than enough of the kind of new media ways. So a lot of what's going on in citizen journalism kind of bleeds through, and it's normally the tools that are useful. We haven't got time for our paid journalists to be faffing around, trying out bits of kit and getting things wrong. It's good that the bloggers and the citizen journalists are out there testing all this stuff so that it can be put to use with the newspapers if they're smart enough to let people use multimedia, etc., etc. They will do, eventually, or they'll die. Simple as that, I think. So I also think that the more the viewership is spread out, the more quality journalism stands out. Only the passionate will survive. Journalism has to be more than a business now that everybody's getting involved. What impact do I think it has on traditional journalism and media organisations? Well, I hope that we will return to caring about the editorial over the advertisement. The industry is not only suffering as we go to find our news elsewhere, that's the general populace, kind of not necessarily going through the normal channels. It's been given a wake-up call. It needs to rethink, reassess, regroup before it can evolve. And I think that's what's happening now. There's a lot of news agencies seriously stopping and thinking about the way they work. There's been some news agencies like Reuters, for example, that have been doing it for a while now. We may not yet be seeing the wheat being separated from the chaff, and I think we're finding more micro news sites cropping up, and I love the idea of that. If it means we're refining our sense of community, that's all the better. I heard about Johnston Press actually starting to do paid for content on the web because they are certain that people need more micro content. Well, that's micro local, super local, hyper local content, and I know that's what bloggers do to a certain extent. Some bloggers really do find a niche, and I think there's a lot of value in that. So I imagine the more they start paying for hyper-local content, the more they'll start being annoyed at bloggers saying, how dare you give this away for free? This is our business model. Well, I'm sorry, the bloggers were there first, definitely. So can I tell these students asking questions what my experience has been with citizen journalism? And as I've said before, I don't really call myself a citizen journalist. I'm more of a mobile media maker. And I've reported without being connected to any official newspaper or organisation, apart from, you know, the odd occasion when I was asked by the United Nations to do some stuff in Jordan, etc. I tend to share all my content free of charge for whoever wants it. And I think if you're going to call yourself a citizen journalist, as I said, you really should know what it means to be a journalist first. Reporting truths, no matter where in the world, be it a small local blog or an international story, bears a certain responsibility, definitely. So what do I feel that social media brings to citizen journalism? Social media can help us root out the good and the bad reporting, help us weed out the misleading from the factual. The networks of citizen journalists that citizen journalists are a part of should add credibility to their actions. When we read any content from blogger/citizen journalist, we need to be aware of the networks that they're a part of. So in what ways do I use social media? I guess I'm involved in it 24/7, every which way possible at the moment. And what do I think the future holds for citizen journalism and social media? I think everything is still very much in a state of flux, but it's definitely a big part of the future. And as far as I'm concerned, as far as I can see, it's here to stay. But again, it's very difficult to say for the time being anyway. I think not until there's solid business models will we see it solidify into something more concrete. So I think it's definitely the responsibility of anybody studying journalism today to get more involved with social media so that they can shape citizen journalism of tomorrow. I believe social media is going to be a big part of all gathering and dissemination of future news. Then I got asked a couple of questions about Twitter. Somebody said to me, have you ever seen Twitter used effectively? Now, this person contacted me through Twitter. I got straight back to them within a very short amount of time and sent my email and hooked up to answer questions. So straight away I said yes. You know, that person contacted me through there. That's pretty effective, isn't it? Although they probably could have found my blog, Googled, got my email address and gone the long form way. I see countless, 100 good examples of Twitter being used every day, but I'm fed up of trying to explain how and why it works. I think people just need to get involved with it and find out for themselves. We all have our own kind of Twitter epiphanies, definitely. So what do I think the negatives are to the ease of posting things online? It's not my words. Especially with the immediacy and lack of censorship provided by Twitter and the internet in general. I don't think there are any negatives to the lack of censorship that can't be turned into positives. Just because someone can post something on the internet doesn't mean people are going to see it. Graffiti on a wall tends to get more readers than many of the blogs online. I think we need there to be as much access for people to publish as possible. I don't think it should just be reserved for a few news corporations that don't see the value in adding conversation around the news. I think the more questionable content there is on the web, the more we should question. I question all sources of news, especially the TV. I don't know who is behind much of the reporting. The journalist's work often passes through numerous hands, from the subs to the main editor, before it's finally published as well. I can find out who is accountable immediately, most of the time, unless it's an anonymous blog kind of editor, in which case, where's the credibility in that? But I know that I can contact a blog writer and find out who is responsible for that content in that blog way, way faster than I can when watching the TV or reading a newspaper. Bylines don't tend to tell the whole truth, I don't think, when you're looking at newspapers. I know I rarely got bylines for my photographs. So what about the positives? Do I think the internet is a valuable news source? Yes, as valuable as any other. And most, a little bit more than other forms of communication, definitely. Would I recommend Twitter for freelance citizen journalists as a way of getting a story out there? Yes, certainly. Twitter, for me, is the spine of much of the media that I put online. All of my blogs, text, video or audio. This audio boo I'm doing now will notify my Twitter feed and say, I'm up, I'm out there. Whether or not you listen for the very end is completely down to you. And an instant audience is informed when it goes to Twitter. So I think
you've really got to just get involved with Twitter to find out the benefits. And that's probably the first time I've ever read from a sheet when I've been doing an audio recording. And God, just realised how not very good I am at anything that's even slightly scripted. So I won't do that again. Maybe I'd need more coffee. It is the beginning of a bright new day after another few hours of snatched sleep. So I hope that makes some sense to some people. I do obviously reserve my right to change my opinion by the minute, as I probably will do after reading some of the comments that may come on the bottom of this recording. But I hope that helps some people out that have wanted to ask questions and will ask questions, are yet to ask questions, or are writing about citizen journalism, blogging, social media, wherever you are. Cheers. That's just my opinion, remember.